Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Sir Shahani, features writer with the Irish Independent, is with me, as is the comedian Steve Cummins. You're both very, very welcome. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is the apocalypse. Specifically, the apocalypse on television.
Oh, right.
Yes.
The apocalypse is happening and it will be
televised. It's happening again on television and we're all going to tune in and we're going to watch
it. Is this a specific thing or just an amalgamation of lots of apocalyptic stuff?
I was watching Fallout this week, which is on Prime, I think, as of maybe last week. And it's based on the video games about like a nuclear apocalypse when there's a nuclear, like seemingly only in America, but that's fine. That's a small
problem. Yeah, you know.
We're fine here. But anyway,
a nuclear civil war. Tijuana is thriving. San Diego, dust.
But it's just basically about like there's, you know, the apocalypse happens. It's based on a bunch of video games and there's definitely lore and I don't know it. And there is probably reasoning for this, but it's kind of set in the 50s, but also in the future. I don't know. But anyway. They are a lot of rich people have ended up in vaults. They're
like the Jetsons. The Jetsons is kind of set in the '50s, kind of in the future.
Kind of not. Exactly. So it's fine. But rich people in vaults, not rich people, not in vaults, basically. And it's all about the fallout of all of that. And it's very, very good. And they just have a season 2.
Can't believe I just made the connection of Fallout and nuclear
Fallout.
Just you said it right there. I was thinking, ooh, what was the Fallout? Oh, we had an argument with somebody or whatever.
No, a much more toxic Fallout.
A much more toxic, or probably less actually.
All right, so is this any good? You've been watching it?
Yeah, very good.
Okay,
but
is it just this particular thing? Are there like The Last of Us? Did you watch that last
year?
Yes,
and adored it. And this is really nice to kind of fill the gap a little bit until the next season of that comes along. And I was thinking because like when that came out, everybody, it was so much fun because there was all this hype about it. Everyone was talking about it. It was the best. And I feel like having any of that high back is like something I really wanted. So having this to fill that is nice.
Do you do the podcast watch-alongs then as well?
Yeah, I do actually. I did that for The Last of Us. Really enjoyed that. And it was, I recently rewatched it on a long-haul flight. They only had episodes...
So you watched it, you listened to podcasts about it while you were watching it, and then you rewatched it as well on
the
long haul flight. Steve,
tomorrow.
Are you also sad?
Not that sad.
But that's then, so weird. Do you have a life, Steve? That's
I'll have you know,
I should say, I actually did two of those three things. I haven't rewatched it, but I did do the podcast thing as well.
I have been rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine over and over again because it's just...
Is that your go-to?
It's kind of, yeah, it is. You just fix up because there's like 9 seasons, so there's plenty of episodes.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're going, did I miss this one? And they're just great. They're just funny.
I do like
and
knowing what a comedian likes to laugh at. That's good.
Sorry?
I like knowing what a comedian likes to laugh at. That's good.
See, this is the thing, because when it comes to like stand-up, like if I'm at the back of the room, and I'm watching some guy, some other comic, and he makes a brilliant joke. I don't laugh out loud at it. I just kind of go, damn it. I should have come up with
you
that.
You resent his success.
Oh, bitterly. So something that's already been made, and obviously Terry Crews, you know, the size of him. I mean, if he told me to laugh, I'll laugh. Mm. You're a big, gigantic man, so yeah.
What is your go-to?
New Girl.
Is it?
Oh my God, I could watch that.
The US Office.
Day.
US Office. Yeah,
I love US Office. Aer Lingus recently took it off. They only have seasons 1 and 2 if you're flying transatlantic. I mean, I know this is a very bourgeois problem to have.
It is exactly.
Last time I flew transatlantic.
But when one flies transatlantic, one likes to watch seasons 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
so
you know, of
I'm
US
just,
Office.
I'm just shocked.
Aer Lingus are listening.
I'm just shocked you fly commercial. I would expect you to be...
My private jet is in the shop. You
I was thinking more hot air balloon.
Exactly.
Let's put the real effort in here.
So Apocalypse TV, yeah, no, I haven't seen The Fallout, but I love The Last of Us, so I might give it a whirl.
I think you'd like it.
I'll give it a go.
Steve, what's your winner of the week?
My winner. Now, I have been accused many times by you of lowering the tone. So you, initially, this is going to start off as a lowered tone, but it's not the reason for it. My winner, and I believe he's potentially going to be a winner, is a man named Michael Farchi of Agoura Hills in Southern California.
Okay.
Who was recently at 8 a.m. in his in bed in his suite in the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas. And he was bitten on the testicles by a scorpion.
Okay. We've That's gone the, scatological, all right. Go
it's
on.
It's not quite
going.
Scatological, but you can look up the meaning of that one someday there, dear. But anyway. yeah, and he was bitten three more times. And basically, I was thinking the payout this man is going to get is going to be phenomenal, right? And he posted like a photo of the scorpion itself sitting on his underwear.
Big pause right? there, Steve.
He was fast asleep. And I will say this. Imagine you're fast asleep in bed. It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Excruciating pain in the testicles, followed by a few more bites. They comped him his hotel room. That was all, right? But one of the things I love, the Venetian came out. And
they just comped his hotel room.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's what they offer. Oh, listen, we'll comp you the room.
Well, that's, I would imagine, what more do you want? Well, a bag of ice, I would assume as well. But what they actually, this is a direct quote from the Venetian Hotel, which is, "The resort has protocols for all incidents and we can confirm they were followed in this incident." So I love that there's a book somewhere in the Venetian which goes, on the off chance of a guest being bitten on the testicles by a scorpion, do A, B, C and D, like comp room.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Catch scorpion, I imagine, let it release it. But can you imagine, you know how litigious the American yes. society is. And this is fairly, now, but the thing is, because he could be a winner or sinner, I'm beginning to wonder, the more I kind of delved into it, did he? Now, he did, there's a medical report you can find, and it says he claims he was bitten on the testicles, or bitten on the testicles. But
Or stung.
Well, yes, would be stung, yeah.
Or they just think he'd use the little pincers. And so he'd be pinched.
Could, be both.
Could have been pinched
four.
Or stung. Could have been both.
That's foreplay, really. But
yeah. Could have been nibbled.
But the point is, I'm trying to get away from the testicles, Kieran. I'm trying to raise the tone of this
conversation. You're not trying very hard.
I'm not trying very hard.
You're facilitating the lowering
I'm
of
facilitating.
The tone.
I'm the one who brought the testicles in, if you think about it. But yeah, so but the thing is, I'm beginning to wonder, is this a bit of a cool con? It's a very bizarre one if it is. If he thought if there was some guy, if, you know, Mr.
Oh, you Barty. Think he's in on it with the scorpion?
Yeah, well, I think he and the scorpion planned this.
Yeah, they do it together.
And I think the scorpion's probably nipped him very gently.
Oh, like, you know, yeah. You know, this is like kind of a 1980s buddy comedy or something. Well, yeah, they go around like fleecing hotels.
Imagine I'm trying to impress my wife, right? So I arrange with you that my wife...
I'm not nibbling anything.
No, you go straight for the testicles. No, you then come and try and mug me.
Oh, yeah.
And then I get to beat you up and I look like a brave guy. So maybe same deal, right? But I wouldn't hit you very hard, obviously, if we're in on it together.
Yeah.
Same thing with Scorpion and Testicle Man.
Okay.
Can I ask, what is the scorpion getting out of this?
I would imagine a free meal, warm bed, maybe $1,000 in chips.
I don't know what I don't know what float the scorpion's boat. Anyway, Nobel winners, Apocalypse TV and Michael Farchi from California, bitten in the nether regions, stung, nipped, licked. We don't know, but something happened down there, and he says a scorpion done it. Makeawish.ie/donate. There is still time. We have up until 7 o'clock before we come off it. You can keep donating thereafter, but we want to hit that 100 grand target by 7 o'clock. We passed through the night. I wanted to hit 80 grand by 6 and we went above 90. Somebody, Ken, is wondering, is it possible to donate to Make-A-Wish from Australia? You can do it from anywhere in the world. Makeawish.ie/donate. Well, I'm saying that. I don't really know how the internet works or technology or indeed time zones. But Ken, just try it. Makeawish.ie/donate, wherever you're listening in from around the world. And donate anything you can, a few cent, a few euro, and it will go to making a huge, huge difference to the life of a young person dealing with the unimaginable. Really, that's the sense we've certainly gotten from the personal stories on this show and elsewhere during the week. So listen, we will have an update on that running total in the next few minutes, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get through 100 grand. Saoirse Handy is still with me. Steve Cummins as well. Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
There's a lot of them. We all have a lot of them. Teeth.
Okay. Teeth.
Teeth.
All your teeth.
Oh, do you know, well, I've gotten rid of the ones that were bothersome.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend yesterday and she was in for like her teeth cleaning or whatever. And we were talking about, you know, she had a numb upper lip because we were trying to eat a sandwich. And I was looking at her and we were talking about it. And I was like, why do we have something in our mouths that when it needs cleaning, they offer anaesthetic? It shouldn't hurt to clean them. And I hate them. This is actually just a platform for me to get out about
what
teeth.
Would you like? Do you think like we should have evolved to just have kind of like one solid bone?
I think we should.
Down?
Yeah, I think it should
like
all
a big white gum shield. It
yeah,
would look like.
I think we should all have like Love Island teeth that actually are just one big tooth with kind of ridges put into them. That's what I think we should have.
Turkey teeth, I believe they're known as. Yeah.
Do you know what? I give out them. I can see. I can see.
Is that a thing?
No, you know turkey teeth. People go to Turkey, get their teeth done.
Oh,
back
sorry.
With these glowing, like,
I was thinking
white.
Of the bird, not the country.
No, not quite the country. But it
is. You gobble your food.
Well, they do say about turkey teeth. And it's
rare
actually
as turkey teeth.
Was something else that reminded me of this week and why teeth are just my sinner. There's a kind of this big pushback on TikTok at the moment because there's mostly in the US, but I was having a look here to see if it was kind of creeping onto our shores, of these veneer technicians. And I say that in inverted quotes. In commas, because they are not dentists. They are people who take this course that I had a look, and one of them costs like $800. You could do a course in this to apply veneers to teeth. But any dentist will tell you that veneers are like, they're not, you have to shave a bit of your enamel off.
A veneer is like kind of like when you laminate wood. It's like you put a shiny white bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like porcelain
stick
like
it on
layover.
The tooth.
It's almost
yeah.
like Biab, like for your nails, but like for your teeth is the impression okay. I get. But you, there's, even if you're going for like minimally invasive veneers, there's still a little bit of like, you know, this damage coming out your teeth, and there's a lot of nerves in our faces, lots of nerves in our teeth, and it really led me to think about people that are putting all this trust and all this money, because that is my other problem, that tending to your teeth costs so much money. And it was just a lottery. I was saying to Steve earlier, it's like I have really straight teeth. I didn't ever have braces, my teeth just were fine. But when it came to my wisdom teeth, all four had to come out because this one was sideways, that one was stuck in my gum and getting infected every year and threatening to kill me. So I had to get them all taken out, to get sedated to do it. It cost me $2,000 to get them out. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
If I just had one big tooth, I'd be fine.
A couple of hundred years ago, that's what used to kill people, was your teeth. It was infections from your teeth was probably one of the most common.
Oh yeah, no antibiotics then or anything.
No antibiotics, no. All it would take is one little infection in your tooth, and congratulations, that's your 60th birthday.
Have you had any teeth out?
I had just like Sophie, Sarah with the. I had sideways
wisdom teeth.
And I remember the first time a dentist said it to me, he said, good news and bad news. He said, the bad news is it's quite severe and it's going to have to come out. The good news is it's so severe the VHI will pay for it. Right. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was a proper operation, knocked unconscious, all that sort of thing. And it was very funny because I came out on the way home. They gave me a prescription and I went to my chemist to get it. And the guy goes, who gave you this? And I was like, just the thing. He said, these are some of the strongest painkillers I've ever seen. So I had a week of recovery after that. I had no memory of that week, but I didn't have pain for even a split second.
It's like, you know, do you ever crack a tooth or break it?
Yeah.
It's like, do you know the feeling? It's like when, you know, if your car, if you like scratch your car to the side of a pit, you know that noise? You feel it in your stomach before you feel it in your, you're like, oh no, that's not.
Yeah, you know.
It's just that feeling that something is completely wrong. I remember biting into, it was of all things, a flapjack, which needs to be soft, in Kilkenny, and it just felt, I heard this noise, this totally unnatural noise.
It's an instant, yeah, because it goes through the bone.
Feel
right?
The tooth kind of sideways in your mouth, and like, oh no, that's not good, before the pain kicks in.
Yeah.
And getting it treated as well, right? You know, if you have a broken leg or you need to get blood drawn or something and it's unpleasant, but you can kind of close your eyes when it's not happening. When you're in the dentist's, there is no ignoring what's going on because they are literally in your face.
Yeah.
There is
and
no
And then they talk
avoiding.
To you when they're doing it.
Yeah, and you're
James,
drooling.
I'm going to call him James McDermott. He's a great man. Dentist down the road from me. Born man. But he's a great man to ask you questions when he has both of his hands in your mouth.
Yeah. When I was getting these out, I was half loopy and they were like, how's that, Saoirse? And I was like, what? Awful. I hate them.
He's an excellent dentist. I'll give him that. Who's your sinner of the week?
Bad commuters.
Oh, bad commute, like drivers or
no commuters, people on public transport.
Right.
Awful people on public transport.
I didn't think you were a public transport user.
I am. I'm a recent convert to, as in the last year or so, and I'm now. If you remember the Guardian Angels in the 1980s, and this was basically, it was a guy called Curtis Lanois, and he got a group of people there to protect people on the subway. So you'd have, they were unarmed, they would just wear these pink berets, and they were just there to make you feel safe because they were there. If I'm on a bus and something's going on, I cannot stop myself from getting involved. Same with on a train. Yesterday was a perfect example, and this is something I want to put out to everyone who's on their way home now. I want you to join this club with me. I was on the train. I got on the train yesterday morning. and I got a seat and I sat down. And at the next stop, two women got on who were maybe about my age, maybe a little bit older. I stood up. I said, would either of you two like my seat? One woman said, that's lovely. Thank you so much. She looked quite surprised. And she, as she's going to sit down, there was a guy who'd been sitting beside me. He was on the window seat.
Yeah.
And this guy had a big monitor and he was wearing a high vis, but he was obviously carrying it for bringing it point A to point B.
Yeah.
Because there was two women, he gets up and he gives his seat. So those two women got to sit down and the two of us, and we kind of were standing in the corridor and kind of looking at each other like, yeah, we're good people. Next stop, this little old lady straight out of central casting gets on, right? And she starts walking down into the train looking for into the compartment. So I step out from behind her and I'm all prepared to project my voice.
Oh,
to
yes. Go,
somebody get up, right? And then this man gets up at halfway down, sees her, gets up, please go and sit. So as he walks up to me, I go, welcome to the Gentleman Club. Right, and the three of us had this lovely little smug moment, and we're very happy and blah blah.
And I want chivalry is dead, seriously.
But people need to start stepping up on something like this. When my wife was 7 months and 8 months pregnant, she used to get the train into work every day. Most days, she would either be on her knees trying to get, because she would never get a seat. No one would give her a seat. And it's when she used to tell me that, there was nothing I could do about it. So ever since then, I've been looking, I've been dying for the opportunity. I want to be on a train when a load of guys are pretending that they can't notice, they don't notice the pregnant woman, or they don't notice the elderly person or whatever. Just step up and be nice and do, you know, do the right thing. Give your seat away, do whatever. Also, the other thing on top of the
people are terrified about the, unless someone's quite obviously pregnant though, that they'll offer the seat to a pregnant woman and she's not pregnant.
I've lived it, guys. I was on the other side. I was in Paris last year and I was on the sub, on the metro, and these teenagers were like, oh, take our seat. And I was like, this is so weird. This is so polite of them. That's so nice. And I was like, why do they offer me? That's so strange. And I walked out on the street and I caught sight of myself in a window, and the dress I had like stopped at like under my chest and just like ballooned out.
Oh,
so I looked super,
perfect.
And it was hours later and I was like, oh my God.
And you've
God.
Worn that. You've worn that dress every time
it's
you've got a public transport.
Absolutely.
You've offered me a seat on the bus.
I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to when I look old enough that people start offering me seats, and then
I'm
I will.
Scared.
Then I will just
offer. Like, how old is old enough to not be insulting?
That's the other thing. Yeah,
but it's not even just that. Not even just giving up the seats. What about the person who plays music on their phone?
Oh yeah,
their phone
watches TikToks.
Do you know, or watches it blaring, or gives it to their kid with no headphones or whatever else, and it's blaring around the bus or the train or whatever. It's just, don't be that person. Or the person who deliberately sits on the outside seat and so that they can block the inside seat. Or someone who puts their bag on the seat. I deliberately, even if I'm going one stop.
For a fellow who only started using public transport last week, I mean, he's got a long list of things he's angry about.
Someone has. One night,
he'll be back in the car before the month is out.
One night I was coming home from the Laughter Lounge, actually, and this guy gets into an argument with the driver. Some drunk gets into an argument with the driver. And he decides to stand with one leg at the side door of the bus, one leg on the bus and one leg off on the road, and refusing to get out, right? And just to shout abuse at the bus driver. And I turn around and I just stood up and I said, dude, look, we're all knackered. Get the hell off the bus. And then he's like, oh, okay. And off he gets off the bus. But like most people won't stand up and do something like that, right? I don't
mind. Batman, this is such vigilante stuff.
I may not be the hero that Dublin needs, but I'm the hero that Dublin's got. And that's why I'm here. But no, there's so many badly behaved people on public transport, and the only reason they can do it is because people don't call them out on it. So the Gentleman Club, I'm starting it right now. If you see someone who needs some help in any way, on the bus or the train or the whatever else, step up.
See something, say something.
Exactly. And do something if you can.
Steve Cummins, Saoirse Hanley are going to stay with me after the break. The last bit of the show. Literally is the last bit of the show.
The last bit of the show.
And Steve, you want to talk about the little wins that
little
make
wins.
Life worth living.
Remember that great song back in the day, Things That Make You Go, Do you remember that one?
Maybe
it was a song like that. Well, a bit before your time there.
Okay.
But great tune. Somebody sitting in their car just heard it and went, oh, I remember that. There are certain things that make you go, You know, ones that I was thinking about this, and you know, like you decide I'm going to put 50 quid worth of petrol in the car and you get exactly on 50. Even if you do clicky, 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 but it's like, ooh, right?
Yeah.
One that really, because there's an ASMR element to it and it's a physical feel. You know, if you buy any bag that's stitched closed, like a bag of potatoes or a bag of coal, and what you have to do is you got to cut one side and cut the other side. Now you're left with four little threads. If you pull three of them, nothing happens. But if you pull the fourth, everything comes up. Oh,
nice.
It feels incredible. It's like you've hacked the matrix. You suddenly feel life works. Like if you're sitting down at home, you're too lazy to get up and you throw something towards the bin and perfect three-pointer.
Sails in,
boom.
Nothing but net.
And nothing but net. And it's like, there's these little wins throughout your... If you can get a few of them in a day, you're going, I'm buying a scratch card on the way home, or I'm doing something, because this is finally Stevie's time to shine.
Oh, little wins. I like that. Little wins. They do make life worth living.
They do, I think.
What about you? What are the little wins in your life? Wins?
See, I feel like this is going to be inspired by what you said about the seams opening, but everyone says it every year at Christmas, but I think we should open it up to other events that need things to be wrapped. Cutting through wrapping paper. Do you know when it goes?
Yeah. Oh, when you're doing it with the scissors.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do the... When you do the slidey.
Oh.
Yeah, it gets all hacky and weird, but if it just slips out, you just know it's going to be a good present. It's going to be wrapped well. That's a good one. I think if you like are running out the door and I'm going to get the bus, you would know all about this, Steve, as a bus user now, that you haven't looked at the time when the bus is going to come, and you get there and it's coming within 2 minutes. That's a huge win. I live quite near the 27 and that plagues me every day, but sometimes it loves to turn up exactly when you need it, and it's beautiful.
Not to talk about my transatlantic travel again.
But I love the way we're talking about buses.
Oh, but I was in Austin last week in Texas. When you walk in, and you get the same here maybe in a car, when you just time it perfectly, that you just don't have to break your stride, you know, green light,
you
know,
across
the road.
Yeah.
Just get the exact right pattern.
Yeah.
Now, I've been doing a lot of that. I've been doing a lot of running around town recently, and I have the opposite problem that I get to a traffic light and I'm like, yes, brief respite, and then the green man goes green, which means I don't get to stop at the lights and take an enforced...
Do you not
break.
Do the jogging in place at the thing?
Oh God, I did it once and it was so mortifying.
Real joggers don't do that. Fake joggers. When you see people running on the spot at a traffic light,
yeah.
They're just show-off joggers.
And looking at their watch while they're doing it.
Real runners stop and
they're glad to do it. But lately, like,
Do you know what? I am going to be so much happier now when I look at the little doing dressage at the side of the road.
No, if you look at a real runner, they don't do that. They take a break.
They
always take a break.
So the opposite problem, I love when I get, and it's I love when I'm just about far enough away and I can see it's amber and I'm like, yes, it's about to go red, and then it goes red.
Nice. You want us to write more letters, is that right?
Yeah, I do. I would love that. Personally, you can all write letters to me. My address will be on the show afternoon. But I had to write a couple of cards this week. I have birthdays, anniversaries, and I've cared for my doctor because they're really nice. And I was writing these out yesterday and I was like, this is so nice. I was like, you got to think what you're going to put down. You got to put it down. When it's down, it's there. You can't really scribble it all out. And one of my best friends I live with, she is mad about letter writing recently. She's bought us all like letter writing kits because she wants us to start doing that. Now, we're not that distant. One of us is in Cork, another one's in the Netherlands, a little bit further away. And a friend of mine, Aisling, is in the Netherlands, has always been so good at writing us postcards all the time. She, like, I've said for years, I'm going to do it and write her back, and I never do. But I think this is going to be the time. It's so lovely. It's so nice.
When was the last time you wrote a letter?
Because we were talking about it outside, and I was going, I cannot. I have terrible handwriting anyway, but I cannot remember the last time I wrote a letter or even received one, because it is amazing. When you received handwritten anything, like if someone goes to trouble to write you a letter, it means they really give a damn about what they want to say to you and about you. Because, I mean, we can all email and text.
Yeah. I thought it was in the Gaeltacht the last time. You were in the Gaeltacht, you'd write a letter home.
You got the letter from here.
Or the bizarre French pen pal you'd get in school.
Johan Bruce was his name.
Lived
outside Moray-sur-Long.
It's amazing, isn't it? I was
70
terrible.
Kilometers southeast of Paris.
I wrote once to Jean-Claude and he wrote once back, and then we never communicated again.
Come on, Saoirse, out your secret French pen pal. What was her name?
I actually don't remember.
I
forgot about her. I know.
She could be listening to
and
this.
And I think we kept going for quite a while. Like I definitely had a whole stack of letters and
Poor Delphine.
She's so sad.
I'll tell you who's not sad. I'm not sad. 101,000 over 100 grand. We did it.
Amazing.
I was hoping we'd get to kind of about 80 grand by 6 o'clock, maybe 90 grand by 7 o'clock. Over 100 grand has been raised for Make-A-Wish. Today is Wish Day, so we've been doing this all day, right throughout the day here on the station. You can still donate, just because we've got to that figure, over 100,000 euro, over 101,000 euro, doesn't mean you can stop or you have to stop donating. makeawish.ie/donate. So congratulations to Make-A-Wish on the success of the day, and thank you to everybody who has donated, and thank you to all of the families who shared their stories as well with us throughout the week. Thank you as well to Saoirse Hanley, to Steve Cummins. I will talk to both of you again soon.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.